Here's Andy Udman.
You open up the tap in the morning, and we don't even know what we have coming out of the tap. And that is just inherently dangerous, especially if you're telling people, hey, we've got no E. coli, so it's all good to go. Are you kidding me?
What's the warning to London about our drinking water?
You have no idea what's in there. You need to have it tested so that you can make some informed consumer decisions. Those people that you thought were protecting you have not been, either through, you know, intentional ignorance, stupidity, negligence, I don't know. They just didn't want to rock the boat. The boat needs to be rocked.
Folks, fasten your seatbelts. The next 20 minutes, you're going to see turbulence. You're going to feel turbulence, and you should. There's a public meeting in London next Tuesday to talk about the water coming from your kitchen tap. And the most of the discussion is going to be about the price. The price and the fees you're going to have to pay. That's going to be scary enough. But what you're going to hear in the next few minutes is even scarier. Someone sent me a press release in just the last couple of moments. Here's one of the paragraphs. In all, FAN, referring to the Fluoride Action Network, says 34 studies now link fluoride to lower IQ levels in humans, while scores of other studies correlate fluoride to learning and memory impairment, fetal brain damage, altered neurobehavioral function, and altered thyroid hormone levels. People are sending me these emails virtually every day now. The evidence is growing that there are all kinds of contaminants in our water, fluoride is just one of them. In studio this morning, and I beg you, if you have any scientific training whatsoever, so don't call me and say, Andy, this is all based on emotion and hyperbole and some of the stuff Pam Colleen's been saying and this group called People for Safe Drink. No, we're talking science. And so this morning in studio, this morning, we have a scientist, Heather Gingrich. I'd read her credentials, but they're too long. Let me just read a couple of things. Member of the Science and Human Rights Coalition in Washington, D.C. On-call scientist for the American Association for the Advancement of Science. I could go on and on. Heather's in studio this morning. Most of all, she's a mom from Ingersoll with three kids, and she's very, very worried about what's in the water in London, but also, Heather, in Ingersoll. What's in the water in Ingersoll?
Well, we're not exactly sure, at least we weren't until very recently, when I partnered with the world's largest commercial lab that acquired the drug doping analyzer from the 2010 Vancouver Olympics. So really, literally the gold standard of analytical chemistry. You know, this is the cutting edge of what we can do now. And we just ran our samples through in Ingersoll, and we're part of the Thames Valley District School Board. We're in Oxford County. And just sort of to see, you know, what we had, you know, using the latest technology to heck with what the list said, you know, that we had to test for. Let's just see what we're up against so we can make some informed consumer decisions. And what we found was that we were over the existing drinking water standards, pathetic though they may be, for several constituents, including fluoride. Fluoride, the levels that we have in Ingersoll that are naturally occurring for the most part, although I'm not so sure anymore, seem to be coming from, they're not considered safe at all on a dose basis, so a kilogram body weight basis, which is really the only way you should be thinking about these things.
How many contaminants do you have in the water in Ingersoll?
Oh, it's innumerable, but I'll tell you what we did find that was a big surprise, a big shock for me, was 23 organic contaminants. Now, this is not the grocery store organic. This is the chemistry organic, which means that it contains carbon, hydrogen, and usually oxygen, nitrogen, sulfur, fluoride, blah, blah, blah. All those things are possible. It's the building blocks of life. Okay. So we tested for those using the Olympic P analyzer. We found 23 organic contaminants, ranging from rat poison to industrial solvents, to what looks like the breakdown of pharmaceuticals, you know, just weird stuff.
Forgive me if I rush you, but we've got so much material to cover. Let's move to London.
Okay, sure.
What's in our water in London?
Again, we found a different chemical profile because, of course, in Ingersoll, we get our water out of the ground. You get your water 80% out of Lake Huron and 20% out of Lake Erie. The profile that we found in Ingersoll, again, 23 organic contaminants, 19 of which are unlisted. We don't have drinking water standards for, and we have a hard time with names because they're the child of Frankenstein. They're decay products of other molecules that have been in the water for a while, and they found pieces of other ones and made something new and really weird. weird. You had more of that coming out of the Lake Erie samples than we had out of the Lake Huron samples. And I should say this, these are from tap water samples. And because there's mixing within the system, it's really difficult to say exactly where it's coming from. But in general, north part of London is getting most of its water from the Lake Huron side, and the south part from the Lake Erie side. Neither of them were good. Both of them had things in them, trihalomethanes is what we call them. They're linked with asthma, preterm labor, and congenital heart defects. But then also we found other things that cause genetic damage and that liver failure and just a whole bunch of things. And it's impossible because everybody has a different body weight and a different sensitivity and different other things going on in their life. You can't set a safe standard for everybody.
I've seen John Bram, our city water engineer, on TV in recent discussions. He looks like a very intelligent man, and I'm sure that he's looking after all those things, Heather. That's not true.
I think he's doing what he can. He's working within the letter of the law of his job description. He's not going above and beyond to address things that we don't necessarily have a policy for.
Is our water any worse in London than other cities?
We don't know. We have to test other cities. And you know, how do you compare something like that?
Okay, there's some people already saying, Heather, I don't believe you. You're just blowing smoke. I drink the water and I feel just fine.
Sure, yeah, I don't care. Look at the data, you know. The data doesn't lie. Nature doesn't lie.
What does the data say?
The data says that we have all sorts of funky things in the water supply in London. I mentioned trihalomethanes associated with asthma, preterm labor, and congenital heart defects. In the south end, we found evidence of this 2-fluoroacetamide, which is the child of Frankenstein. Possibly the fluoride.
What's the child of Frankenstein?
This is different things started to decay, to die, to not become what they were when they were added to the water supply. And then they recombine parts, bits of things, find other bits of things and form a new molecule, right, in the water stream. So this 2-fluoroacetamide came up in all of our Ingersoll tests, and it's a rat poison. It's a metabolic poison. It disrupts the citric acid cycle. You can look it up, you know, on the internet, I'm sure.
I have a relative right now who's being treated with warfarin, with rat poison, to thin his blood, and he's doing much better.
Yes, and, you know, hopefully, you know, they took his body weight into consideration. He's got a medical doctor, I'm assuming. You can't get that stuff. I guess you can get the rat poison.
There's one thing we know that we dump in our water, because some people will call and they'll say, well, some of this stuff's just in the lake. There's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing that we dump in the water.
Yes.
And it arrives in a big truck.
Yep.
And it has skull and crossbone warnings on it.
Yep.
And it's called fluoride.
Yeah, hydrofluorosilicic acid. We receive tanker shipments of it. I don't know how frequently we go through them. But what's on that label there? It's labeled as hydrofluorosilicic acid. But that is a immense abbreviation of what's probably in there. Yes, it contains fluoride. Yes, it contains hydrogen. Yes, it contains silicates. But it also contains a whole bunch of other stuff that, because of where it comes from, because of how it's produced, we really have no clue. So what should be happening is we need a sample so we can run it through the same analyzer, the Olympic P analyzer, to see what the heck is in there. We know that arsenic likes to be in there. We know that lead likes to be in there. But there's a whole bunch of other things that we, you know, there's no law to say.
Okay, but John Bram and all his white coats surely are checking these samples all the time and analyzing them.
They're supposed to. Under the American Water Works Association standards, which we don't have our own in Canada, we just borrow the Americans. We do this a lot. We just borrow the American standards. Section 5, B703, there's a verification standard that says before you even accept this tanker, you're supposed to get a sample out of the tanker, send it off to the lab, see what you actually are receiving, and say, yeah, this is what we want. They don't do that. Nobody does that. I don't know why. I guess when nobody does it, then everybody can get away with it. It's a loophole in our system, and it's a dangerous one because we don't even know what we're adding, and we don't know what we paid for.
Are very serious allegations. I mean, who's to say John Bram isn't listening? He'll call me after the show and say, who is this, Heather? Because I'm going to sue her.
I hope he is. I said, go for it. I said, please prove me wrong. Please show me that data. I'm a chemist. I know how to make sense of it. And the other thing that they cannot produce that I find completely unacceptable is the toxicology studies for hydrofluorosilicic acid. They say they don't have to because it breaks down 100% in the water stream. Okay, there was a study in 2006 done at the University of Michigan using like reagent grade. So perfectly pure hydrogen, silica, fluoride, they put it together and then they used deionized water, perfectly pure water. And then they saw what happened. And yeah, that stuff split apart.
You're working on your PhD.
Yes.
In what?
Child health outcomes and drinking water chemistry. So I want to know what happens. Is the water that we're using to make up our infant formula, is that safe for children? And I'm finding it's not. Across the board, categorically, no, we're in a huge problem. Now, I come from a county, Oxford County. We have the highest rates of female infant mortality in the entire province for our peer group.
And I heard the mayor of Ingersoll last night saying he's worried now about Toronto's garbage ending up in the Thames River in Oxford County. He called it insane. It just is getting worse all the time.
Oh, yeah. And this is one of the reasons why I started. I moved to Ingersoll like 13 years ago. Found out really quickly that they had some really funky water there. Tried to get people to start paying attention and see what the problems were. And it wasn't getting anywhere because, hey, they thought they'd been living with it.
Heather, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to focus people's attention on this meeting next Tuesday.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of the meeting?
The purpose of the meeting, I believe, is just to get the ratepayers to accept, because of economic realities, they're going to have to increase your water rates.
Yeah, basically, this is a sales job, so we'll be prepared.
Yep.
We'll all say, water is so important to our lives, so yep, we don't mind paying a lot more for our water.
Yeah, we're your BS protectors, when over your ears. Because really, it's got nothing. You know, we spend $250,000 it's not my money, I live in Ingersoll, our stuff is naturally occurring, $250,000 per year to add fluoride to the water supply. I say, hey, it breaks down to about $1.72.
$1.72 per bill.
Yeah. Stop paying it. For heaven's sakes, they don't even know what they've got.
Okay. Are you going to be allowed to speak at this meeting next Tuesday, or is it all going to be about cost and who's this guest they have?
Bob McDonald, from the CBC. Bob McDonald, CBC, is the host of Quirks and Quarks.
They paid Peter Mansbridge to come to town recently and paid him $28,000. Are they going to pay this?
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't ask me, right?
So okay. I didn't. Short break. We'll be back with Heather in just a moment. And if you have a comment, 643-1290. Back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
What's the warning to London about our drinking water?
You have no idea what's in there. You need to have it tested so that you can make some informed consumer decisions. Those people that you thought were protecting you have not been, either through, intentional ignorance, stupidity, negligence, I don't know. They just didn't want to rock the boat. The boat needs to be rocked.
PhD student and scientist. Extraordinary Heather Gingrich in studio this morning talking about this meeting we're going to have in London next Tuesday. To talk about, it'll be mainly about the price that we're going to have to pay for water in the years ahead. Fasten your seatbelts. Heather thinks we should be talking about the water quality. We have talked about that many times on this show. Now, Heather, I want to ask you about the suggestions that I keep hearing about, that our city councilors better be paying attention, and our health unit, because there's a new law which kicks in next January.
Yeah, we're in uncharted waters right now. January 1st, 2013 is when Section 19 of the Safe Drinking Water Act kicks in, which makes the municipality and the municipal councillors legally and I guess financially responsible for the decisions that they make. So if they make a decision, a bonehead decision, that causes a problem with the drinking water supply, either environmentally or with people's health or with infrastructure, people's pipes bursting because of the water attacking their copper plumbing, if you want to sue somebody, you sue the municipality. To make it very clear.
There's just a report out in Portland, Oregon. I mentioned earlier, this is literally a few days ago, that suggests it's a documentary film about fluoride, suggesting that fluoride is linked to horrible damage to human bones, thyroids, the pineal gland, and many other areas of the body. Yet big industry, the medical establishment, and those in government continue to promote its use. Especially in children is the problem. And you mentioned about milk being prepared for children. I have grandchildren. Can I, as of January the 1st, go to Stephen Orser or Joe Fontana or Dale Henderson or Joni Beckler and sue them because they're putting fluoride in the water?
Technically, yes. It's an untested area of law. You know, January 1st hasn't happened yet. All the municipalities were informed by the Ministry of the Environment about this legislative change, about this deadline, but it looks as though they didn't understand, they didn't believe it, they didn't pay attention.
Heather, we have 2 minutes left. Sorry to interrupt, but I want you to just, in these last 2 minutes, leave a message for our listeners that there's this public meeting next Tuesday. Sorry, I'm thinking they're feeling right now, all these chemicals is just too much for me. I don't understand it. What's your message to them?
Hey, we have technology now to help us. You know, we have, we can do smartphone apps. We can do, you know, places where you can get the information that you to make decisions that you need to make to protect yourself and your family. You know your situation best. And I think it's time to push back a little bit on our government, our various forms, municipal, provincial, and federal, and say, hey, you know, we don't mind paying the high taxes, but for heaven's sakes, you know, what are you doing with
the
money?
Is the water in London safe?
Yes, everyone?
Or no?
No, it's not.
It's not safe.
Not safe for everyone.
Okay. What's the primary problem?
Primary problem is it's over mineralized. There's too much junk in it. We were using our waterways as open sewers for too long, and guess what? Now it's biting us in the butt.
And fluoride's at the top of the list.
Yeah, like fluoride's our gateway drug. If we can understand how we screwed things up on a policy level with fluoride, because really the current policies only protect industry. They're really good for industry. They don't really protect anybody else.
Are you gonna be at the meeting?
Probably.
Are you going to be allowed to, and what about the group, the people for safe drinking water? Are they going to be allowed to speak?
Yeah, you have to pre-register. It's a free meeting, but you do have to pre-register on the website. I'm sure you can find it at the municipal website. And you have to pre-submit your questions.
Oh, no, not pre-submitted questions. I mean, what, they could just cherry pick the questions they like.
Yeah, that's okay. Like, we are, our group, send it. You should send your questions here. So, Safe Water London. And then we're going to keep a log of all the questions and then see what happens after the meeting, see which ones they cherry picked
and
which ones they didn't.
They totally ignore you?
It's okay. We got, you know, there's other things we can do. Hey, let's occupy the meeting. You know, there's students out there. They're looking for, you know, something fun to do. The meeting is from 4 to 6, so it almost guarantees that people with jobs and whatnot can't make it.
Okay, next Tuesday, 4 to 6, where?
I believe it's at the library, okay. One of the libraries. You'll have to look on the website.
Okay. You see. Terrific. Well, some pretty sobering warnings. Wrap it all up in 30 seconds. Heather, what are you saying to the people of London about their tap water?
We have to protect ourselves. Let's use technology. Let's use what we have at our disposal and come up with some new solutions. We have to keep talking about this and stop believing that somebody else is protecting us because they're not.
And as for the chief officer of Ontario who looks after our drinking water, you were mentioning?
John Stager has left the building. I sent my analysis to the chief drinking water inspector's office and got an email auto reply saying that he has left the ministry, referring me to an executive assistant. She's out of the building, not available until after the 20th of September.
And in terms of avoiding another Walkerton, these are the key people?
It's happening. We're there. This is Walkerton in slow motion, and there's no one at the helm.
Wow. Folks, she's a scientist. I'm not. The meeting is next Tuesday. How can people get a hold of you if they want to?
You can email me at medical.geologist@gmail.com.
Okay, one more time.
medical.geologist@gmail.com.
medical.geologist@gmail.com.
Yep. We'll put it on the website.
Wow, there we go. Okay. Thanks, Heather.
Okay,
wow,
thanks.
What a half hour.
Thanks.
10:30 news update in just a